Today's reading is in Matthew chapter 19, starting in verse 16. Matthew 19, verse 16. And behold, a man came up to him, saying, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments." He said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these I have kept. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you would be perfect, go, sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly, I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Then Peter said in reply, "See, we have left everything and followed you. What then will we have?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or children, or lands for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." So today's reading, of course, comes after Jesus being tested concerning divorce and him giving the answer there. And then verse 13 through 15, the children were brought to him that he might lay his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked the people, and Jesus says, "Let the little children come to me, do not hinder them." And then you have this rich young ruler or young man come onto the scene. Now, let's just set the stage about this guy. He seems to be a devout Jew. He seems to be concerned with salvation, righteousness. In fact, for Jews among the time, they probably looked at him and said, "Hey, that's a great Jew. He's wealthy. He's the kind of guy you want to have around. And he's concerned about upholding the scriptures." Everybody would look at him and say, "That's a good Jew." But of course, Jesus can see deeper than we can. So when he comes and asks this question, "What good deed must I do to have eternal life?" Jesus knows that there's more than what you see on the surface to this guy. Personally, I think this young man must have known that something was lacking, or he wouldn't have asked this question. Because when he's told, you know, the commandments about murder, adultery, stealing, bearing false witness, honoring father and mother, love your neighbor as yourself, he says, "All these I have kept." So he should have been able to look at himself and say, "Look, I'm keeping the old scriptures. I'm keeping the law of Moses. I'm doing good." But somehow he knows that perhaps there's something else missing. And so he shows up to Jesus to ask this question. Jesus' first response is, "Keep the commandments." Pretty simple. Simple answer. But the young man says, "Which ones?" Now, for a Jew at the time to ask which ones seems a little strange, because the answer should have been, "Well, all of them." But he does ask this question, and Jesus gives him this list that we just went through. And I'm not sure if at this point the young man thinks that there must be something else, or if he feels confident that the answer is going to be that he's not lacking anything, but he says, "What do I still lack?" And Jesus said, "If you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor." Now Jesus gets to the heart of the matter. He gets to the hindrance in this man's life. What is holding him back from complete dedication to God? Let me say that again. What is holding him back from complete dedication to God? I stress that because that's a question we need to ask from time to time. What holds me back from complete dedication to God? I don't mean dedication where we attend all the services that the church schedules, we're there at all the gospel meetings, we put money in the contribution plate, we sing the songs, maybe we are in a position where we lead in worship or we teach some sort of class. That would put you in the same category as this young man when he says, all these I've done, what do I still lack? There was still a heart issue. It was not that it was wrong for this man to have any amount of money. The Bible doesn't tell us you can amass this amount, but once you go over to that, you're rich and then you're condemned. No. The Bible doesn't say that at all. But he gets to the heart of the matter, which was this man valued his money more than he valued righteousness, because he goes away sorrowful. He does not want to do that. This is the hindrance from complete dedication to God. Now, I want to point out something else. When this man gets the response, keep the commandments, and then Jesus tells him those commandments, and he says, all these I have kept, he didn't have to ask that second question. He didn't have to say, what do I still lack? But he did, and Jesus told him. I'm going to give this man some credit, because that's really opening yourself up. That was a question that showed some honesty, that he would even ask that question and that he wanted an answer. Now, he didn't like the answer, but he did want the answer. Personally, I hope that at some point in the future after this point that this man was a follower of Jesus, that he became a Christian, that he was saved. I hope that's the case. But as we see it, the last thing we know here is he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Jesus goes on to explain to his disciples that riches can be an impediment for people. He's not saying it's impossible, but he's saying it can create some difficulty. And when he explains this in verse 25, the disciples ask, well, who could be saved then? Their response is, well, how could anybody be saved then? Because, you know, money is, well, here's what I'm thinking. Money is necessary. We have to get by in this world. And if we have a little bit more of it stashed away in the bank or what have you, then I have security. So they ask, who then can be saved? And Jesus says, with man, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. Okay, so the man by himself may not be willing or able to make the changes necessary to be righteous, completely righteous. But he says, with God's help, he could be. It is possible with God. Now this prompts Peter to say, we've left everything and followed you. What then will we have? What will we gain for losing these things is what he's asking. And he says, in the new world, or literally it means in the new regeneration, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, he's talking about a future spiritual heavenly time. And he says, whatever you've lost houses, brothers, sisters, father, mother, children, lands, for my name's sake, will receive a hundredfold or manifold and will inherit eternal life. There's the great treasure, eternal life. Peter, you want to know what you're going to gain for what you gave up? There you go, eternal life. It's of much, much greater value than anything you gave up. And that's what Jesus is offering us today. He's still offering us eternal life, that gift which is of incredible value. Are you willing to wipe away the hindrances that might stand in the way of complete dedication to God? Think on these things, and as always, please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.